Song. Just, I was ready. Speaking of musical talent, last week, Sherry Seiden performed at Carnegie Hall. And I think it was the fifth time that she's done that, and heard that it went spectacularly. So I have never performed at Carnegie Hall. Not expecting to anytime soon. Look in your Bibles over in Matthew 18. And Vacation Bible School, amazing time. You know, but don't you feel that everybody's just a little exhausted? You know, people are just a little bit. And I will tell you, Vacation Bible School is the most exhausting thing that you can do. It's just, you know, there's so much energy, so much noise that all the kids have that it totally exhausts you. I remember when I was in college and I would do Vacation Bible School, I would come home and I was like, I need a nap. Because this is really exhausting. So I was out of town this week and was not able to be a part of it. And you may say, oh, nice timing, Steve. But no, I really tried. I really enjoyed it last year. And so next year, I will make sure that I'm in town during VBS. Kids are exhausting, though. I mean, I see parents with small children, and I just get tired watching them. I mean, it's like, how do you do that? It's like, if I go to the bank and the dry cleaner in the same day, I'm spent. And these parents, it's just like so much excitement, so much energy, so much just all the time. And parents just handle it. It's really pretty amazing. In Matthew 18, verse 1, says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. So the disciples come to Jesus and they ask him, say, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And, you know, as we know, the disciples were really preoccupied and fixated on position and who's the greatest and, you know, who's the alpha dog, who's the most important, because they asked this question quite a bit. And so Jesus, the way he answers it this time is he brings a little child and he has them stand among them, because as we all know, little children, 2 to 5 years old, they do not stand. Okay, they fidget. They're moving. But he has a little child come and stand in between them, and they say, you know, who is the greatest? And, you know, we're all about position. We're all about who's in charge, who's first place. Dogs are like that. Two dogs meet. And they figure out who's the alpha dog. You know, sometimes two dogs come up to each other and they kind of sort it out pretty easily. But then if there's a question, they'll be like, and they just, you know, they figure it out. Who's the big dog and who's not? You know, kids are like that in school. They want to figure out who's the best, who's the biggest. It's like when I was in middle school, there was this kid in our class named Don Lee. And he was a straight out thug. I'm positive that he's in jail right now. Positive. I mean, he had the, you know, the Fonzie leather jacket, the swoop back hair. He was just a thug. And he was the kind of guy, it's like after PE was over, physical education, you'd all stand around waiting for the bell to ring. And he would walk up and just, you know, pick out a kid and just walk up and just punch him in the arm as hard as he possibly could. And the kid just took it like, oh! And then Don would walk off to somebody else. He was a thug. Well, in middle school, I was not a thug. I was very chilled out. In fact, my nickname in middle school was Sugar Bear. It was. Sugar Bear from the old, you know, Cocoa or Sugar Crisp. Do they still have that? And so Sugar Bear was just this chilled out. Can't get enough of that Sugar Crisp, Sugar Crisp. Very chilled out, very non-fighter. And so I'm standing there outside of PE after, you know, waiting for the bell to ring. And Don Lee walks up to me. And he, like, gets in position like he's going to let me have it. And he looks at me, he says, Sugar Bear. And he walks off. And I thought, all right. It happens. happens with adults too. We try to figure out who's winning. Who's winning? I mean, you know, our status symbols. Cars are status symbols. Clothing is status symbols. Gated communities, those are status symbols. You ever pull up to an intersection and you see the guy next to you and he's got the convertible Corvette. He's got the hair, you know, got the gold chain. He's just got it going on. And he looks over at you in your 1979 Toyota Venza. He just kind of looks at you and, you know, you kind of make eye contact and he's like, winning. And then, peels out. It's like, we do it with adults too. And the disciples did it. You know, the disciples all the time, they were worried about where their place was. Who's the greatest? In fact, one time they were having a discussion about who was the greatest among them. They were like, you know, which one of us is the greatest? And Jesus said, you know, what were you talking about? But they remained silent because they were having a discussion about who was the greatest. We're very concerned about that. So they say, who's the greatest, Jesus? And he calls this little kid, you know, 3 to 5 year old. And he comes over and he has him standing there. And this kid, you know, I mean, 3 to 5 year old, they don't care about nothing when it comes to position or status or anything like that. They are very disinterested in status. Children are. They don't care who you think you are, what title you have. You know, it's like we love it if our children would ever perform, which they won't. You know, you ever get your kid to meet your boss? Oh, that's always fun for the whole family. You know, it's like your little 3 to 5 year old meets your boss that, he looks like a rabbit, you know, or something like that. Just, you know, your kids won't perform. Kids don't care about status. They don't care who you are. They don't care about those things. They don't care about rules. JD, when he was playing baseball, they would always put him in the outfield because he did not really understand or care to understand the rules of baseball. So he'd be out there, and of course the ball will find you, and it would be hit out to right field, and he would, like, you know, stand there and see the ball go by, and all the kids say, go get the ball, go get the ball. So he would run after the ball, and this happened one time. His cap flew off, so he stops, goes back, gets the cap, puts the cap back on, puts his glove back on, then runs, gets the ball, and, like, throws it in sideways or something, you know. It's like he didn't care about the rules. He didn't care about any of that stuff. Very disinterested. Become like a little child if you want to enter the kingdom. You know, so that's the message for us. Jesus says there's something about this. You got to become like a little child in order to enter the kingdom. And I think the one thing that stands out to me is that children are honest about their feelings. Children are honest and undisguised when it comes to their feeling. I walked into church not too long ago, and one of the little kids, you know, probably, I don't know, 10 to 12 year old little girl, she was lying on the floor, and her mom was standing there. She's crying. You know, the little girl's crying, lying on the floor. And the mom said, oh, hi, good morning. Just step over her. She's upset. How are you doing? You know, so it's like you have to kind of step over. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if we had a church where all the adults acted like that? You know, where you'd come in the door and Ron Massey would be laying on the floor, crying. Just step over, well, step around him and... Well, me too. Hashtag. But, you know, it's like that's just the way children are. If they have a meltdown, they're going to have a meltdown at the front door. They don't care. And that's the way elementary school at recess is. In 15 minutes, you'll hear yelling, screaming, crying, laughing, fighting. You're going to hear all that in 5 minutes because kids, their emotions are just right there underneath the surface. And see, we're not really like that. We're not in touch with our feelings. I'm especially not in touch with my feelings. Just, you know, wish I could say I was, but I'm not. I don't have them much is really what it is. It's like stuff happens, and it's like that just happened. I don't know how to process it. Like something happens, Kim will have a lot of feelings right then. But me, and I think most guys, it's like I don't know how I feel about that. Give me 24 hours and get back to me, and then I'll have something to say. But as for right now, I really don't know. I also, unsurprisingly, don't get emojis. I do not get emojis. Now, I got smiley face down. I've got sad face. But after that, you send me emojis, I'm lost. I got an emoji a little while ago. It was like a candle, a squirrel, an explosion, and a crown. And I was like, and I'm sure that means something, but it meant nothing to me. What gets my emotions up are things that take me back to my childhood, like sports movies. And I tried to figure out, why is it that sports movies, like Hoosiers, you know, the movie Hoosiers about Indiana basketball, it's like Hackman, he says, you know, he deliberately gets thrown out of the game. He's the coach because he wants his assistant coach, Dennis Hopper, who's the alcoholic, who doesn't want to lead anything. He puts him in a position where he's got to lead. So Dennis Hopper gets all the boys in there in the huddle, and they're like, okay, boys, we're going to run the old picket fence. And they do it, and it gets me emotional. And the natural, you know, Robert Redford hits the home run with his bat. His bat is emblazoned with Wonder Boy and a lightning bolt. How little kiddish is that? He hits the home run. He knocks out the lights. The whole bank of lights go out. Dun, 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 dun. And I just start weeping because it takes me back to my childhood. It takes me back to being a little kid. And then forget about Field of Dreams. I mean, that's the worst. I mean, you know, I see Field of Dreams and it's like, you know, the kid, the little girl starts choking with a hot dog. And so old Doc Graham is playing baseball as a teenager. But once he leaves the field, I know it's a little complicated if you haven't seen the movie, but he leaves the field and becomes old Doc Graham instead of Moonlight Graham, Burt Lancaster. And so Burt Lancaster walks over there with his brown doctor's bag and he says, this child's choking to death. And he fixes her, gets the hot dog out of her mouth, but then he has to go back into the cornfield. This is really confusing if you don't know what I'm talking about. He has to go back in the cornfield, and then Shoeless Joe Jackson says, hey, Rook, you did good. And he like tips his cap and walks up into the cornfield. I'm just like, I'm done. And then at the end, when it's like Kevin Costner sees his dad when he's young, you know, hey, Dad, you want to have a catch? I mean, you know, like there's brothers breaking down right now out there. But I think it's because it takes us back to our childhood. Remember how big things were when you were a kid? How important things were when you were a kid? How scary things were? I mean, your emotions were just right there. I remember one time I was coming home from school and I rode my bike through the middle school parking lot. And for some reason, that was a huge crime. And I had to go in and be in the principal's office. And it was so scary. And see, now stuff like that happens, you don't even think about it. But it takes us back to our childhood. So we need to become like little children. How do we do that? How do we tap into that honesty of emotion? Well, first thing, Hebrews chapter 4, take a look there. Hebrews 4, verse 12, says, the word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. How do we tap into the thoughts and attitudes of our heart? Because those are hard to get into sometimes. Those emotions, those feelings, those thoughts, those attitudes. Well, right here it says, hey, the word of God is living and active. And it is sharper than a double-edged sword. It is like a Hattori Hanzo sword, samurai sword, super sharp, and it's just going to cut. It cuts and it opens things up. It penetrates. It divides. It cleaves. It separates between joints and marrow, thoughts and attitudes. When we read the Bible, when we read the Word of God and let it work on our hearts, it opens us up to those thoughts and to those feelings that we have. You know, recently Renee Kersey was baptized, and you know, we asked her, said, you know, what was it you thought about the church? She said, the first thing I noticed when I came to church was that everybody knows their Bible. Everybody's into their Bible. It's like their Bible, it's not just something that you keep on the coffee table. It's this thing that's a part of their lives. It's something that, it's like this happened. So it's like, oh, I need to go to the Bible and find out what the Bible says. So that was really unusual for me, is that people really knew, people really used, people really liked the Bible. She said the other thing was that people liked each other. She said you had friendships where it wasn't just like hanging out a little bit and doing stuff. It was like friendships. It was like close. People were talking to each other about what was really going on in their lives. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, it says that it judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. You know, think about really that's where you live, your thoughts and your attitudes. It's like your mind, your thoughts, your attitudes, those are a temple that no one else has access to. You're the only one who knows what you're thinking. Now, other people act like they know what you're thinking. Other people act like they can read your mind, but they can't. It is a temple where the Holy Spirit dwells and where you have your thoughts and your relationship with God. Those are the thoughts and the attitudes, and that's what we want to get into, and that's why reading the Bible will expose those things and get us back to a childlike state. Get us back to being like we were when we were children. You know, you see people, you know, even this week, a couple of people that were famous killed themselves. You know, just Kate Spade, the fashion designer, and then Anthony Bourdain, who, you know, is a cool guy. Killed himself, hung himself. And then, of course, the one that really got to me was, you know, a couple of years back, Robin Williams. And it's like you think, okay, in their thoughts and attitudes of their heart, things just got so dark and so closed off that the best option they had was to kill themselves. And, you know, it's, you don't know how to handle that. I think all of us, if we were honest, would say at one point or another, that thought crossed my mind. Now, that thought crossed my mind at one time. I was like, okay, just ram your car into the bridge abutment. All the pain goes away. But it wasn't a serious thought on my part. So obviously didn't act out on it. But some people don't know what else to do with it. And, you know, Jim Carrey had a quote that I read not too long ago. He says, I really wish that everybody, Jim Carrey, the crazy actor, he says, I really wish everybody could be rich and famous. Because then they'd realize that that's not the answer. You know, and so for regular people, I think we still kind of hold out hope that even though I'm not happy, there's something I could purchase or something I could achieve or something I could do that would give life meaning. But I think sometimes for celebrities, they bought everything there is to buy. They purchased everything there is to purchase. They've achieved. They have people walking up to them all the time. You are great. And we think that's going to make us happy, but it won't. You are going to be happy directly proportional to the relationship with God that you have. You are going to be happy directly proportional to the thoughts and attitudes of your heart. And the more childlike you can get, the more unfettered and weighed down by all the adult junk that we go through, the more you get through that, the happier you're going to be. If you have had struggles thinking about killing yourself, thinking about suicide, thinking about harming yourself, talk to somebody. You know, just talk to somebody. I don't claim to be a healthcare professional, but there are people in this room that are. And get the help that you need if you need anything at all like that. You know, I have a thing that I do, and I call it TBS. It used to be Turner Broadcast System. I don't even know if it's that anymore. But TBS for me is Things Bothering Steve. So like I'll get up in the morning and I'll have my quiet time, and sometimes I just won't be right. Something's not right. My spirit is heavy or something's bothering me. It's vague. I don't know what it is. It's TBS, Things Bothering Steve. And so I will think about it and pray about it and get in the scriptures until I figure out what it is. Now, you're not going to do TBS unless your name is Sterling or Sam or something like that. But, you know, do TB whatever. Figure out what it is that's bothering you. Use the Word of God to be able to do that. You know, another thing you can do to be childlike is to talk to a friend. You ever see a couple of kids on the playground. It's like they run up to each other and they, hey, let's be best friends. Okay. And then they run off. Well, clearly that's not how God wants us to run, but that is, I mean, little kids can become best friends in like seconds. And they can talk and they can have fun and they can do all this stuff. How many friends do you have? How many friends do you have? I'm not talking about Facebook friends. I've got 650 Facebook friends. Well, you got zero right now. I'm not talking about Facebook friends. I'm not talking about work friends. You know, work friends? Work friends are the people that you work with that while you're at work, you're friends with them. But then as soon as you're not at work, you don't want to hang out anymore. And I'm not talking about church friends. When I was growing up, I had all church friends. Like kids that I would hang out with at church, but they weren't real friends. Facebook friends aren't real friends. Work friends aren't real friends. Church friends aren't real friends. Friends are people that you want to be with. When something goes right, you want to tell them. When something goes wrong, you want to tell them. That's the first person you think of is that person there, my friend. If you had asked me, there was a time in my life, if you had asked me, Steve, how many friends do you have? I was young, I was dumb, I would have said, oh, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, 25, I would guesstimate, here in America. Internationally, it's much more. But like I said, I was young and dumb. Then things got tough, the going got tough, and the friends took off. And I realized, okay, how many friends do I have? I got Kim Sapp. She's a friend. Good for daddy. I got a friend, all right? My mom's a friend. I got two friends, my mom and my wife. And then there was one other. But you know what? That's plenty of friends. You don't have to have 100. You don't need 10. You just need one. Who's the name that pops in your head when I say, who's your friend? If you don't have a name pop in there, you need to get your friend. You know the best way to get a friend? Be a friend. You be a friend, you're going to get a friend. If you got no friends, you got trouble. You got trouble. Proverbs 18, verse 24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I will tell you this, husbands, wives, if you can look at your husband, look at your wife and say, that's a best friend right there. You are blessed beyond all comprehension. I mean, you are blessed if you have a great husband, a great wife. Wives, your husbands aren't perfect, but they can still be friends. Husbands, are your wives perfect? Yes, they are, absolutely. It's a sharp group. It's a sharp group. The other answer would have been unsatisfactory. And you would have had a busy afternoon. But you know, I think as we get older, as I get older, I think I become more like a child. Because, and I think that's a good thing. And, you know, Kim and I used to fight. We used to have some fights. You know, you guys that have been around, you know, we used to fight. We don't really fight anymore. Now we fight like five-year-olds. It's like, we'll get in an argument about something, some stupid little something. And, you know, it's like, give each other the silent treatment for a couple hours. And then finally, like, I'll walk through the room or something and look at her and I'll stick my tongue out. Isn't that true? And then she sticks her tongue back at me. And then she'll say, you're dumb. And I'll say, your face is dumb. And then it's over. It's over. Right? It's like, that's how five-year-olds would handle this. That's where I am in life now. And that's where Kim is. That's just kind of how we do it. When it comes to being a preacher, you know, it's like, I used to know how many members we had in our church. I used to know how many people were baptized that week, how many people were concerned, how many people were struggling, how many people were falling away. I used to know every stat, and I used to know the contribution. Now I don't know nothing. I treat it like I'm a five-year-old. I don't know how many members we have in our church. I don't know Bob Harpole was in town. How many members? I don't know. How many kids do you have? I don't know. What's your contribution? I don't know. How many people in your church? It's like a five-year-old. This many. I don't know. I don't know. And I think that's okay. I think that's okay. You know, Jim Linehan, and he's gone now, so I can talk. I can't say it if he was here, but he's the boss. He's my boss. And I'm absolutely okay with that. I don't want to be the big leader, the head cheese, the whatever. Let him do that. Now, he'd be really ticked off if he heard me saying this. But he's the boss, and I want him to be the boss. He's a much better boss than I'm a boss. It's like, bring that child. Stand him up in front of you. Don't worry about position. Don't worry about what you are, where you're going, all that stuff. Don't worry about it. You know, so if you want to get those relationships close, that relationship with God close, use your Bible. That'll take you back to a childlike state. Have a friend and really get honest with each other. That will get you back to a childlike state. It's not always easy. It's not always kind, but it will open you up. And then lastly, prayer. Pray to God. You know, little kids get mad and they yell. Have you ever yelled at God in a prayer? You know, we're afraid to do it, but I've done it before. It's like, I remember when the recession hit in 2008. The recession hit, and it was like, God, what are you doing? There goes my job. There goes my savings, because I'm having to live off my savings. There goes whatever retirement I had. It's gone. You know, God, what are you doing? You say you care for me. You say you love me, but you're sitting up there on your golden throne in your penthouse and you don't care about what's happening to me. And I even got mad at God and yelled at him. I said, you stink. You've messed me up. You promised me stuff and you lied about it. You know what? That's okay, I think. I don't think God is overly intimidated by that. Oh, Steve's mad at me. No, what am I going to do? I don't think he's worried about that. I think he says, Steve is being honest with me. And I like that. I want him to continue to be honest. You know, God doesn't want us just to be, you know, just so polite all the time. God wants us to be honest with him. I think that's what it means to be like a little child. And sometimes if you get mad at God, get mad at him. He can handle it. It's going to be okay. If you want to be close to God, and if you want to be a little child, if you want to, you know, who's the greatest in the kingdom? This little guy right here is the greatest in the kingdom. So if you want to become like him, that will help you get into the kingdom. It means you got to get into your Bible, got to get into the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Become childlike in your thinking and in your feeling. Get a friend. Have a friend, a best friend. Do you want to be best friends? Let's be best friends and pray to God. Thank you.